He joins on Tuesday, special appearance today. I want everyone to give this guy a standing ovation right now. Joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, it is Larry Scott's worst nightmare. He had a hand in the firing, I guarantee it. Ladies and gentlemen, John Canzano. John, come on. Standing ovation. Come on.
Hey!
Get that clap going.
Thanks, fellas. But
hey, nice work.
I'm concerned now. What am I going to write about? I'm concerned about that.
Well, you can write about who's going to be the next commissioner. You had a chance, John, to sit down. Well, first of all, before we get there, did this happen sooner than expected for you?
It did a little bit. I thought March. I had said to you guys I thought March 1st would be the target, but it became apparent that when he met with the Pac-12 CEO group executive committee that they had no interest in retaining him. So typically his contract says they have a negotiation period that starts January 1st. He did not get a warm reception on January 1. And anybody who's ever been let go of a job probably understands that feeling of, oh, they're not bringing me back. Larry Scott got that, and then it became evident that they were moving in another direction, and it was just the details and sort of the optics of it. I love the inauguration night meet dump and news dump there, don't you?
Well, I mean, it just, I thought it was a perfect, end to a perfect day. That's how I viewed it. So, I mean, I loved it. And I know that feeling. That's why on Fridays, I run out of the office as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I am at that elevator before the music to the end of our show it hasn't even finished yet. I am so fast at that elevator because that's when they get you. Hey, can we see you for a few minutes? No, you can't. I gotta go. You can do it over an email. I will. I'm out of here. Mm. All right. So he's out. Is there any talk now? Can they just do it immediately? What will he be doing until June? Is it just because his contract's through June, so they technically pay him? He will have no say in anything, correct?
Yeah, there's nothing for him to do right now. I mean, other than to, you know, yesterday he met with his staff via a Zoom call. And have you guys seen Hamilton, the Broadway show Hamilton?
I have seen Hamilton. The rest of America has seen Hamilton.
Okay.
The two people I work with have never heard of it before.
No, I have heard of Hamilton. Yeah, see, God.
I tried to play a song for him one time for one of these bits we have on our show, and they're like, I don't get it. What's the song?
I just haven't seen Hamilton yet.
And I'm like,
okay, well, you're
I'm like,
have
it's from
to,
Hamilton. You guys have heard of
soundtrack.
Hamilton?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, because they're Larry awesome. Scott goes to address all of his staff members. Not well liked anyway. I mean, people are looking at him. It's been bad leadership for a decade. And he does a Zoom call with all these people that he'd furloughed living in San Francisco, three to an apartment because they have to be at the downtown San Francisco headquarters. And so he plays the Hamilton song, My Shot, prior to him coming on. Mm. The lyrics go, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. And then he comes on and talks about how he's going to have more time. It was the right time for him. He and his wife will have more time to do things. And it really sort of epitomized his tenure. It's just tone deaf.
Oh, my God. You're making that up.
I'm not. I wish I were. It's Michael Scott from The Office. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He should have gone with, what did I miss? That's the song I played for those two because we have a bit, what did we miss today? And they're like, I don't get it.
And that's what I missed. Sorry.
That's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
You guys live under a rock.
You mentioned the offices in San Francisco. Like, whoever it is that's going to be the new committee, is that like the first order of business is to pick up and maybe get somewhere a little bit cheaper, not so affluent as San Francisco, and like the third most expensive city in the country?
I had a chance yesterday. I met with Michael Schill, the president at Oregon, Annemarie Cosse, Washington's president, and Kirk Schultz, who's a rock star, by the way, at Washington State. Guy's just, he's like a fan. I mean, it's tremendous to have him in that position. I met with the three of them. It was a one-on-three meeting for 15 minutes. That was my first question. Like, you know, what do you do with the conference headquarters? What do you do with the network? 1A, 1B. And they all said they don't want to paint the new commissioner into a corner by making a bunch of decisions before they hire this person. So they're going to hire this person. They're going to let that person recommend some things. I think the timing of that works up because their lease is up at the end of 2022 for this downtown San Francisco building. But I didn't see a lot of support for staying in San Francisco. Like, I think if they really were committed to that building and $7 million a year in rent, then they would have. They would have, you know, said in that moment, like, "Hey, we need to stay in downtown San Francisco." But they're not. I don't think they're going to stay there. I think the new commissioner's recommendation will be to move the headquarters somewhere else. They said they're not married to anything. Washington's president said, "We're not married to anything."
No, hey, I listened to your interview that you posted up with all three of them. It's up on your podcast. For anyone who wants to go listen to it, what's the best way to go listen to your interview with all three of those presidents?
Yeah, you can go. I would just go to, you can go to Apple Podcasts and search for The Bald Faced Truth or John Canzano, and you can get that interview from yesterday's show. I also tweeted it out. It's on my Twitter feed from yesterday at John Canzano BFT. Or you can go to baldfacetruth.com to access it as well.
Yeah, and then I know Ian Furness had Schultz on it in his show, and you know, he had a comment. It wasn't even a question. He just right out of the gate was like, "Yeah, this has been like a great 24 hours, 48 hours around here. We couldn't be happier." I'm summarizing, basically just taking a shot there at Larry Scott going out. What were your takeaway from talking to all three, having a chance to do that one-on-three for about 15, 20 minutes? What was the biggest takeaway from you in speaking to those three?
It was essentially, look, we're fans at our hearts. Like, I find myself rooting for the Pac-12 in my heart to do well. I'd rather cover things that are winning things. Like, I'd rather be, you know, the columnist covering the San Antonio Spurs in their heyday, you know, versus the Sacramento Kings. Like, you know, it's more fun to be around that. And football fans and alumni, totally more tuned in to, you know, being a fan and being supportive. I just find it really interesting that these presidents, who are really smart people who know what the hell they're doing, are also fans in their hearts. Like, it really came through. Like, Washington's president, she really is rooting for Washington and the rest of the Pac-12 to do well. And, you know, Michael Schill at Oregon, same thing. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, and they were taking shots at each other as well. I mean, that's what great rivalries do. What do you think is the timeline to, A, get it done with their next commissioner? And what did you come away with thinking that their number one quality that they want in a new commissioner?
Well, look, I think their timeline is going to be that they haven't even crafted a job description. I think that would be a great radio segment. Like, what's your job description? But I think the new commissioner is going to have a little different job than the old commissioner. I don't think the new commissioner is going to be a executive type who's a suit. I think it's going to be more of a worker who is into, boots on the ground, connecting with the campuses, you know, knowing the ADs, knowing the coaches, knowing what the athletes' struggles are like. It's not going to be like when Larry Scott tried to meet with the Pac-12 United people, and basically they left the meeting thinking, this guy's talking down to us, he hates us. It's not going to be that kind of person. So I think they need somebody who can definitely connect. But they're going to craft that job description. They're going to hire a firm that will go out and present some candidates to them. I think there are some interesting candidates that are people that they would want to talk to immediately that, you know, are being talked about right now. I think this person's going to be on the younger side of things. I think it won't be somebody who's older than maybe about 50. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised. As I made my list of candidates, I had three or four women that were on this list that feel like they're real contenders. So I think it's going to be a real correction from the Larry Scott era, where we had kind of an empty suit who wanted to go fly on a chartered jet and stay in a five-star place. I think we might find the next commissioner like pulling into your typical Pac-12 town and wanting to stay in the Hampton Inn or something like that.
What do you expect the role will be once all the dust settles for Merton Hanks?
The role for – I'm sorry, you broke up at the end there.
For Merton Hanks.
Oh, Merton Hanks is – I mean, look, we're going to figure out whether or not they really were interested in listening to him or if that was just a Hail Mary by Larry Scott. It kind of felt to me that, you know, they had just laid off and furloughed a bunch of people. And I was working on a story at that time, right before they hired Merton Hanks. I was looking at the list of people who were laid off, and it was heavily minority, heavily women. The white males survived the furloughs and the layoffs at the Pac-12 headquarters. And I was working on that story the day they hired Merton Hanks. And I wondered, I went, I wrote a column and I said, look, this is a great hire. This guy knows football. This conference needs football. I hope they listen to Merton Hanks. At no point during the season, from the scheduling to the games to any part of the season, did I feel the influence of Merton Hanks. And I'm really disappointed with that because I felt like they were bringing him in to be somebody who could lead things. And in the end, I'm left wondering if that hire was made because they looked at the list and went, gosh, we are really not diverse right now. We better go out and hire somebody in the football capacity that makes us look better. I would like to see Merton Hanks emerge as the supervisor of football, a voice in the conference. He's smart. He knows what the hell he's doing. Nobody's going to know more football than that guy. And I hope the Pac-12 would listen to him.
Why not just make him the commissioner? If he's going to be the czar of football, isn't the whole thing about the new commissioner being more paying more attention to football?
I think he could be part of it. I wonder if it's just too soon for him. I felt like he had one more step to make. I do think the aim with bringing him in may have been if Larry could get one more contract, Merton is the guy 5 years from now, right? I mean, I just think he needed a little more experience in the Power 5 level, just one more job or one more experience or one more contract. And then suddenly you look at him and you say, okay, he's learned some of the things that are outside of football that your conference commissioner needs to know. I know that his Conference USA experience made him valuable. I know that he's a hard worker. We know that he knows football. But I think there's so many things with that conference commissioner job that are outside of football that you got to find the balance. I prefer to have him as my supervisor of football in the short term, and maybe he emerges as a candidate either in this conference or another conference as the eventual commissioner. I might interview him and talk to him, though, just to find out. You've seen crazier things that happen, and he might blow him away in an interview.
Who's on your list, John?
All right, I'm looking at my list right now, and these are people I want to talk with, okay? So I want to talk with Sandy Barber, the former AD at Cal. She didn't leave on the best of terms, but she's strong. And if you're looking for a tough, strong correction from Larry Scott, she knows the conference well. She's been at Cal. She knows the problems. She was not a Larry Scott fan. She was very outspoken. She's somebody I at least want to interview and talk with. I also want to talk with Greg Byrne at Alabama. Former Arizona AD. He was at Oregon for a spell. He was at Oregon State for a spell. He also worked in the conference office. He attended Arizona State. His brother went to Stanford. If you're really looking for somebody who knows the Pac-12, knows the roots of it, knows the campuses, knows the problems, and has been away and seen the magic of the SEC, what did he learn there? What could he bring back? That's somebody I would really want to interview, at least talk with seriously.
John, let me jump in.
Gloria Navarez, her name has come up. I'm a big fan of Gloria. She is the WCC commissioner. She is a great person. She is a leader. She's the kind of person that would galvanize the Pac-12 headquarters. People will follow her. The campuses would love her. I know people already. She's formerly worked in the Pac-12. They are a lot of big advocates within the athletic departments across the conference of Gloria Navarez. So she's somebody you'd want to talk with. As I go down my list, I see names like Oliver Luck, who is now with the NCAA, dad of Andrew Luck. He knows the conference. He'd be interesting. Some people who don't know the Pac-12 but I think could get to learn it. There's a woman at Duke who's named Mina King, terrific administrator, rising star in that conference. The Pac-12 would be wise to look outside of their footprint a little bit. I think she could get the lay of the land. She certainly knows athletics. She knows the campuses on the ACC. But she's a smart, strong administrator who's going to do big things in her next job. The Atlantic 10 has a woman named Bernadette McClade who's there. And again, they should be paying me $50,000 as a search firm right now. But I would talk to Bernadette McClade. She's really qualified. She's a worker. But the problem with those last two candidates are they're not as familiar with the Pac-12. So, I'm going to put Gloria Navarez and Greg Byrne, Sandy Barber, Oliver Luck. I'm going to put the other two candidates on my list of five, and I'm going to build the Pac-12 $50,000 as a search firm.
Why, if you talk to Arizona fans, why do they not like Greg Byrne?
I think they look back and they go, okay, Sean Miller, Rich Rod, you know, but, you know, I I will afford an athletic director a misfire or two on a hire if the athletic director shows me growth. And that's what I'm interested in at Alabama. He made a terrific hire with his men's basketball coach at Alabama. They're thriving. He's worked with Nick Saban. He's kind of seen how the sausage is made at Alabama and in the SEC. So that's valuable to me. I'm not going to make him my front runner, but he's about my two or three favorite here in this race, and I want to talk to him. It depends on Greg Byrne what he says in that interview too. I don't know what Arizona fans could be upset about, because I think he'd be a really strong advocate of Arizona. And I think there's some, you know, Kurt Schultz said it yesterday when I talked to him. He said he's concerned about, you know, Washington State. He wants the next commissioner to come in and fly into Pullman, stay a little while, and look them in the eyes and say, what can I do to help Washington State? I think Arizona, Washington State, Colorado, Utah, Oregon State, I think they're all kind of in the same boat where they just want somebody who's going to look at them and go, hey, what can I do to help?
Yeah. I got like 15 more questions, and we're like running out of time, but whatever. It's a Friday. We can push the break. You have the report that you came out a little while ago. Larry Scott will have to pay back that $1.9 million loan, correct?
Correct. They are, in part, guys, you asked about what's he going to do for the next 6 months. I'm just prorating his salary. I believe what they have told him. I haven't confirmed this, but it just makes sense on paper. He's been told he has to pay back the $1.9 million interest-free loan. He bought his house with it. That's about 6 months of salary for Larry Scott, 5-6 months.
You know what? Can we just get all the money back from him? How much he stole from this conference? Here's what I think he should do. Whoever the new commissioner is, and we're going to talk about this next. I think there's two orders of business. I think the first two things. Actually, before I get to that, did they mention TV at all to you, John? Like, how much is the media, the TV side of the world? Will they go that route? Someone with experience in negotiating TV contracts. Did that ever come up at all?
Yeah, I asked him about that. They're not as into that as you might think, and it makes sense. The Greg Sankey, who we all hold up as this great commissioner in the SEC, he contracted with an outside agency. He did not do that negotiation himself. And the Pac-12, I think, is committed now to hiring IMG or some other agency to negotiate the deal in 2024. It's why Larry Scott became even more expendable. He was pitching, hey, I have work to do. I have a media deal to get done. I'd like to stay through that and get that one more media deal done. And they looked at him like, you know, we're just going to outsource that, you know, like everything else that he did over the years. So I think they will outsource that negotiation.
Yeah, that's smart. Well, I think the first two orders of business would be find that search firm to negotiate that TV deal. Now, and this would be a heavy-handed approach there for the commissioner of the conference. But I would go to President Folt down at USC. And I would say you got to fire Clay Helton today, and you need to spend money and get a real football coach in here, because this conference, it doesn't matter if they change the commissioner, John, it will not fix USC being a dormant program right now. And the only difference between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten is the fact that Ohio State is Ohio State right now, and USC is where they're at. That's the only difference. Go look at the rest of the Big Ten. Ain't like a bunch of guys competing for national championships over there. It's the same as the Pac-12. It's just they have got one of the premier organizations right now. I don't know how, as a new commissioner, how you do that, but I would force the issue at USC, be like, it's time to fire him and get someone in here new. Because the conference will not be back to where they used to be if USC is not the leader of this conference. It just won't. We'll continue to have the same storylines every year.
Yeah, and I don't think you could tell USC to make that hire, but you can imply it by giving USC more money. Look,
sure.
$100 million, that's the number. SEC programs got $100 million more than Pac-12 programs in the last 10 years. You give USC $100 million to play with, you give Oregon, Washington State, Washington, they're hiring better coaches, guys. It's why Tim DeRuiter is leaving Cal. He's the 263rd highest paid assistant in America. He's going from Cal to Oregon today, and he's going there because they're going to double his salary. I mean, there's a shortage of money that's available. Not everyone has Phil Knight. USC's got money, but if you gave USC $100 million, I think they would have been far more inclined to go after Urban Meyer a year ago or 2 years ago.
You were great with your time. We appreciate it. I know you're a swamp. Get ready for the show. Thanks, John, for doing it. Appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas.
Yeah, there he is, John Canzon. Normally joins us on Tuesdays. But we need an emergency session with him today, all brought to you by Mike's Chili Parlor, Ballard's Original Sports Bar, and KeshopoMeats.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back.